Hi, Marty Lurie here at KNBR 680 with the Hall of Famer. I always love seeing this guy. This is pure baseball, Marty Brenneman. Talking about the Hall of Fame, of course, we had the Ford C. Frick Award this past weekend, and Graham McNamee got it. And I did a little research on Graham McNamee, and he was one of the pioneers of baseball broadcasting. And they always said he was so colorful that if you sat next to him during a game, there'd be the game on the field and the game that he saw. And that's how he loved to talk about baseball. But very important to recognize someone like that for the Frick Award, which, of course, you've gotten as well.
Marty, I've said it for years and years and years, and even back when Jeff Idelson was a media relations guy, I felt that there had to be some means, some way to adequately recognize the Graham McNamees of the world, the Franz Lauchses of the world, and all the other guys that essentially paved the way for people like me. These were guys that, when we use the word pioneer, they were the real pioneers. I mean, they were flying blind in terms of I'm going to broadcast a baseball game, and it's fundamentally as elementary as it will ever be, and all it can do is become more sophisticated and more technologically savvy. These were guys that knew this is what I want to do. I'm going to do it the way I think it should be done. And none of those guys, I guarantee you, none of them ever realized that the day would come when people like me and some of the other guys that have been around for a long time would look back and say, you know what, had it not been for these people, maybe we would not be so fortunate today to have the position that we have and the position that we've had for a lot of years.
Marty Brenneman with us. Do you ever go back and listen to any old broadcasts of a Bob Elson or Bob Wolf or Red Barber or Mel Allen, people like that?
I've done it a number of times over the course of years because the one guy that really kind of took me under his wing when I came in 74 was Bob Prince. And my son Tom grew up as a kid listening to Pittsburgh Pirate highlight records that Bob Prince and Jim Woods, the Gunner and the Possum, as they were known. And yeah, I periodically have gone back to listen to some of the great announcers, the Russ Hodges of the world and the Mel Allens and people like that. And I would encourage people who enjoy listening to baseball on the radio to do themselves a favor. With all the information that we receive today in social media and other areas that we can go to that were never available to us before, we have access to listening to some of the great play-by-play guys of the past. And for people that really have a genuine interest in what I do and what John Miller does and Vinny does and all the rest of the guys that have been around for a long time, do yourself a favor and go back and listen. And now you have a means of comparison between the way a game was broadcast, say, in 1945, as opposed to the way the game is broadcast today in 2016.
You know, it's funny. It's still a baseball game, and today we get caught up in statistics. And I love listening to Mel Allen and Red Barber and some of those that the folks in New York seem to, in Albany and Schenectady, they seem to tape so many of those games. But they didn't get stuck in the stats. They talked about the game.
Well, you know what? I try to stay away from it as much as I can. I can understand how easy it would be to fall in love with numbers, because there's no sport on earth, as you well know, because you have a passion for this game like we do. There's no sport on earth, whether it be the NFL, whether it be the NBA or the NHL or whatever it might be, where you can completely become inundated with numbers. And even now, more than ever, with the analytics that have been introduced into the game. And I think that you reach a point, and I read a big, big piece in the New York Times two months ago, where it said that we have become even so much more numbers oriented that we are subconsciously getting away from what makes this game such a beautiful game. And I believe that. I truly believe, you and I, we've talked before, there's no clock in this game, unlike all the rest of them. That people will complain about the fact that games are too long, and I think it's, to some extent they may be right. But the fact of the matter is that this game is played on such a beautiful, thought-provoking level that you take something away from it when all you do is beat people over the head with numbers, batter by batter, pitcher by pitcher.
Well, I always say it's the story. Leonard Coppett always told me it's the story every day, no matter what happens in the game. It's the story of coming back the next day and getting another game. And that's what sells. It doesn't matter if the game's 3 hours, 3 minutes long or 2 hours and 52 minutes long. If they chopped off 11 minutes, they'd go nuts. It'd be the best thing that they could do in the world. But it doesn't matter because it's the story of baseball. I love talking ball with Marty Brenneman. All right. Vin Scully, Dick Enberg, two of your colleagues. Call it a career this year. Your thoughts on both of them?
Well, take Vinny first because Vinny is first. I mean, he's the best baseball play-by-play announcer who's ever lived. I think there's some guys in our profession that would not make that concession, but I think those who don't, it's more born out of the ego that they possess that they're not willing to say that anybody is the best that's ever lived. He's the best that's ever lived and probably will be the best that ever will broadcast a baseball game. And in Dick Enberg's case, maybe the most versatile all-around play-by-play guy in the history of our business. I mean, he's done everything. He's done collegiate basketball, the NCAA, he's done the NBA, he's done baseball, he's done golf, he's done tennis. He's done it all, and he's done it all at a very, very high level. I guess we all reach a certain point in time where we have to make a determination as to whether or not we want to continue doing what we're doing. I'm a bit conflicted myself over that very thing. I mean, that's 43 years for me now, and that pales by comparison to Vinny, but the game will not be the same, and that's a trite statement, but believe me when I tell you, when we go into L.A. and there's no more Vin Scully, or we go to San Diego and there's no more Dick Enberg. And the thing about these two guys, Marty, not only are they great talents, but they're good people. Now, I tell people all the time, you can say all you want about Vin Scully as being the greatest baseball play-by-play guy that ever lived, but more important than all of that is the fact that he's a guy without any discernible ego. He's a guy who is very willing to talk to you and give you advice, and he's given me a lot of advice over the years. So that, to me, is the most important thing, because we are in a business that breeds egomaniacs, and we are in a business where some people feel like they're bigger than the game. None of us are bigger than the game, because if it wasn't for the game, we wouldn't be here talking about baseball. So those two guys will be missed, without any question, and the same was true when Jack Buckwalt walked away from St. Louis, when Ernie Harwell walked away from Detroit, and the list goes on and on and on. It's unfortunate that we can't stop time sometime and make sure, because we have that ability, that these guys will never leave, but unfortunately that's not the case.
No, well said. That's the connection of baseball. It's a thread of baseball for every generation. The stories that come out of the visitors in your home, when you come and weave that story, and it's so different than TV, because on radio you tell the story of what's in front of you. All right, some of the thoughts about baseball. I always like to get your thoughts about it. Umpiring. Are we heading towards a computer strike zone? Where are we going with this? Now we got replay. Every other play is a replay. Putting the earmuffs on, and, you know, it just seems everyone's so dependent on it. Are we heading towards a computer umpire?
Well, to begin with, I'm not opposed to the replay, because I believe you need to get it right. And I think that the tragedy of all tragedies would be a missed call in the seventh game of a World Series that could cost somebody a World Championship. And I think that's a concern that the powers that be have in baseball. I have no problem with a replay. I do have a problem with the thinking that maybe this is simply another step in one day doing away with umpires completely and having a machine determine whether a pitch is a ball or a strike. And I think we're already missing something, because we don't have the great arguments in the field anymore. We don't have a manager come roaring out of the dugout like a Lou Piniella did back in 1991 and pull a base out at first base when Dutch Rennert made what he thought was a bad call and threw it out in right field and then went and picked it up and threw it further out in right field. We don't have that kind of thing anymore, and I think that hurts this game. I think fans love to see it. I think fans love to see the passion exhibited by a manager or a player who feels like he was wrong. But at the same time, unfortunately, it all goes back to the almighty dollar. Yeah. And as I said earlier, you don't want to see somebody get shortchanged on a obviously wrong call that could knock them out of a postseason situation or ruin or end their chances of winning a world championship. And it all has to do with money. And that's the way it is. And whether you like it or not, it's not going to change. I just hope that they don't go overboard and figure out something else that they can do to minimize the importance of the umpiring fraternity, because I think we need that.
Well, looking at baseball itself, are they too panicky right now about trying to get runs in the game? Rob Manfred, if you told him, hey, how about a golf ball instead of a baseball, he'd say, you know, I'll consider that. That's not a bad idea. He'll consider anything. They brought up something to him the other day about relief pitching and trying to limit relievers. I mean, honestly, aren't they a little too panicky about the game of baseball?
Yeah, well, I don't know that they're panicky, but I think that Rob Manfred, and I think he was the right man for the job, and I think he has a lot of great ideas, but I don't. I'd like to see him one time when someone says, and I don't know who it was that came up with it. Was it Buster Olney? Yeah, that came up with this restricting the number of relief pitching changes you can make. If I'm Rob Manfred, I'd say, with all due respect to Buster Olney, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I'd love to hear him say that one time, rather than saying, well, you know what, we take everything in under consideration. That's, to me, is totally crossing the line. And I think that at some point he's got to say to, you know, the Olneys of the world, the Kenny Rosenthals of the world, the John Haymans of the world, hey, guys, it ain't going to fly. This ain't working. And we would never consider something like that. I don't know where they think they're going to go with this game. But I think every time they make some radical change, it simply takes something away from the beauty of this game and the way this game should be played. I have a problem with the home plate rule. I have a problem. That was all a knee-jerk reaction to Buster Posey suffering an incredibly terrible injury. And the play at second base was as a result of Chase Utley going in there against a kid with the New York Mets. I'm opposed to both of those rules. And I think if you talk to second baseman and shortstop, I heard Kike Hernandez on the radio this winter with the Dodgers saying, there's no more of an emotional high for me than to go to the bag and take the throw and now try to get the throw to first base before that guy gets on top of me who's sliding in from first. We're eliminating that kind of thing. We're eliminating the kind of plays that take place at the plate. And again, it always goes back to the amount of money these guys are making and the fact that we cannot afford to have the Buster Poseys of the world and some of the other players that are making millions of dollars, who are looked upon as being the better players in the game, can't have them on the sideline with injury. So we have to put into, we have to legislate rules into the game that will minimize the chances that they're going to get hurt. This game went fine for decades and decades and decades without putting any radical changes into it. And all of a sudden now there seems to be a need to do something and do it again and do it again in other areas to try and make it a better game, which, as far as I'm concerned, they're not doing that.
Boy, what a pleasure, Marty Brennan. One last thing for you. Ken Griffey Jr., now a Hall of Famer. Of course, you've seen him as a kid. You saw a good part of his career as well. And I talked to someone about him the other day, and they compared him to Willie Mays. They said he was sort of the last superstar, that Griffey was the superstar like Mays. And I thought that was interesting.
Well, you know, you can make a strong argument for Willie Mays being the greatest player, all-around player who ever lived. And if you took that position, somebody better come up with a better argument than any I've ever heard to disprove that. I think that's an ultimate compliment to Junior. With all due respect to the Barry Bondses of the world and people like that, for my money, Ken Griffey Jr. was the greatest player in the decade of the 90s. He did it cleanly. He did not ingest anything into his body to make him a better player. And I think that if Junior were sitting here today and somebody would make the comparison between he and Willie Mays, he would consider it to be the ultimate compliment, which is as it should be. You know, he was a guy who came up who could do everything. Yeah. I mean, he could run, he could hit, he could hit for power. He was without peer defensively, and he had an incredible joy for playing the game like Willie did in his younger years. And so there are definite parallels that you can make between Willie Mays and Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah. Well, what a pleasure to see you. Always a pleasure. I look forward to this every year, seeing the Reds come in. And you're one of those icons. You know that. You are.
That's being around a long time. That's what an icon, that's what that means.
You mean a lot to the people who listen to you. And, of course, your son Thomas is just as loved as you are. So appreciate you being on.
Thank you, Marty. It's always a pleasure.
Nice.
Thank you.
All right, very nice. More coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.
That's wonderful.
Thanks, pal.
That's wonderful.